Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Weedsday Wednesday, Tucson, Arizona's number one online radio podcast about all things medical cannabis. Your host, Bell Star,
and the Cannabis Kid. Our show features news, interviews, and all the latest information about anything and everything medical cannabis related in Tucson, Arizona, and the world at large.
We'd love to hear from you. Please give us a call, 646-915-8421. Email thctucson@gmail.com. You can like us on Facebook, visit us on MySpace, or tweet with us on Twitter.
Our sponsors for Weedsday Wednesday are Growers House, Accurate Med Testing, AZMarijuana.com, and Culture Magazine.
We would like to thank Tumbleweeds Health Center and Studio C for hosting our show every week. Along with the lowest price certifications in town, you'll find hemp products, accessories, and all things educational related to medical cannabis.
Visit Tumbleweeds Health Center at 5315 East Broadway Boulevard or online at tumbleweedshealthcenter.com.
And remember,
be smart, be safe, and educate.
All right, welcome to Weedsday Wednesday, everybody.
Good morning. We're in a heated debate.
We are already. We debated right into the radio show. What was it even a debate?
It wasn't a debate. It was a passionate conversation about Florida.
Florida's got some passionate people over there, and they're just deciding that, heck with you guys, we're going to make our own laws and bills, and we're going
to
pass this stuff.
Give it back to
medical
people.
Marijuana. Woo-hoo. Well, welcome to Weedsday Wednesday, everybody. February 25th.
Your host, Bell Star, and the Cannabis Kid.
Coming to you live from Studio C.
On this
live studio
funny,
audience.
I'm a tad chilly this morning.
Slight tad chilly. Well, welcome, everybody. We have another exciting show. This is our second in a series of interviews with Women Grow coming on this morning. Fantastic group from Denver who are making their way across the state, come cruising over west here to spread their love and education and good vibes about cannabis and doing things right, complying and education and all the good stuff.
All the good stuff that needs to go along with cannabis legalization.
Yeah, because we were talking about how big of a putz you look like these days if you say no to cannabis legalization.
We were talking to some tech guy about the politicians who were saying no the first round and saying yes the second time around, but saying that they would like to ride it instead of the people that are for it.
Oh, they always want to do that. That's the politician's way. That's why the legislature here in the Phoenix is going to try and do something as well. We don't know if it's going to work, but they'll try and do something to get cannabis legalized this June.
Well, I think, you know, me and you talk about this a lot of the time, is how fast things are going.
Holy trickle down.
You know, I'm about 3.5 years into this whole project, and I know it's gone on quite longer than that, but just in this 3.5 years, we've seen two states for full recreational legalization.
Well,
and
guess what? Yesterday, Alaska became the latest state to legalize marijuana use.
So there we go. As we're speaking, things are happening.
Yes, they
just
are.
Just as fast.
Marijuana smokers now have a place to put on their bucket list, Alaska, which on Tuesday became the third state to officially announce that marijuana use is okay. Following Colorado's leading voters passed the Alaska marijuana legislation ballot measure in November, legalization became official on Tuesday, which means that now, as of 12:01 this morning, I wanted to be up with them smoking. The use of marijuana is legal for persons 21 years or of age or older, and I believe they get 5 plants, I think, or 6. There are limits to the law, though, as there are similar in other states. People still can't have more than 1 ounce, and they can't. Wait a minute. Nor can they harvest more than 4 ounces in their home. Take all your plants down, kids. Forget it. Because you can get 4 ounces off one plant. That's not really... What?
You're not allowed to harvest 4 ounces in your own home.
Yeah, what? I don't get that. See, this is where...
We're going to have to give
we're going to interrupt
we're going to have to give the rest away.
What about the baby? Give it to the baby. Well, seriously, how do you say you can grow 6 plants, but you can only have 4 ounces? Because these people don't understand. We'll continue. Consuming marijuana in public and driving while high are no-nos. Then there's the fact that the law isn't fully implemented yet. The regulatory structure allowing for entrepreneurs to set up shops like those found in Colorado is still in the works. So right now, one can legally make a living selling the drug. No one can. Not to mention that under federal law, marijuana is still Schedule I narcotic. That makes it still a federal crime. Well, it goes on to say, is weed legal in your state? Still, as in many states, there seems to be a movement in Washington on the front. U.S. Attorney Eric Holder told CNN in October he is cautiously optimistic on the subject of marijuana legalization. Holder said the Justice Department is focused on marijuana distribution to minors, interstate trafficking and drug violence, not incarcerating low-level people who simply are there for possessionary offenses. Mm-hmm. In the absence, some might say in defiance of any sweeping federal change on marijuana, some states have taken the initiative. 23 states still prohibit cannabis outright, but the rest of them have either legalized medical marijuana or decriminalized possession. Colorado became the first to go one step further in legalizing pot, followed by Washington and now Alaska. And tomorrow, hopefully, our nation's capital. Okay, I think our president is going
to go down to the dispensary.
I think he's going to sit on top of the White House.
He's all, hey, Michelle, I got a special night plan.
Hey, Shell. Remember?
No.
They meet at 421.
Really?
I don't know.
Probably 320 because...
it's Secret Service time. Mm-hmm. 320 is Secret Service time. So good morning, all you folks. We don't even know what's going on. We just love the fact that Alaska is now happily using cannabis freely and hopefully without fear of prosecution. Did you know that there's a new House bill that would end marijuana prohibition?
I saw that pop up on our newsfeed the other day.
Two House bills were filed last Friday that together would legalize, regulate, and tax marijuana at the federal level, effectively ending the U.S. decade-long prohibition on marijuana. The first bill, the Regulate Marijuana Like Alcohol Act, would remove marijuana from the Controlled Substances Act schedules. All right. Transfer oversight of the substance from the DEA to the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms Explosives, ATF. And would ultimately regulate marijuana in a way similar to alcohol. The second bill, the Marijuana Tax Revenue Act, would set up federal excise tax for regulated marijuana sales in the U.S. As more states move to legalize marijuana, as Oregon, Colorado, Washington, and Alaska have done, noted Rep. Earl Blumenauer, it's imperative the federal government become a full partner in building a workable and safe framework. That's very important. The bills wouldn't force states to legalize marijuana, but the new federal regulatory framework would be set in place for states to decide to legalize marijuana themselves. So that's the whole marijuana like alcohol. All the states can have alcohol, but some cities and counties and places in our United States don't like them, or on Sundays you can't have it, or
right Sundays, or there's the percentage.
But
I know in Wyoming, a lot of people drive over to the neighboring state
to get a higher percentage
to get a higher percentage of alcohol.
Well, I did not know that. Interesting. Uh-huh. Wow. All right. Yep. So they'll do the same. Well, I don't know. They'll do something similar. Will probably help it happen with marijuana. Sounds like soon, actually.
I don't know why they would have all of these regulations on something that, I know we have to play it safe and play it by the rules, but when we're talking about a plant that you grow...
It's psychoactive, though, because kids can't have it.
Right.
Right. So get a doctor's note, right?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
21 and over.
Right.
Right.
I got that.
Yes.
But then they start putting all these other ones on. I know in Colorado they have the recreational side. They have the medical side. So if you're a medical card holder, you go in and you actually get get to drink the real stuff.
We drink the real stuff in Wyoming. Of course you do. Ow! Of course you do.
I have some from Wyoming.
That's right.
So you have these two different kinds of medications, right? You have recreational and you have the medicated.
And you have enhancement, according to Dr. Grinspoon. So there's a third category. Dr. Grinspoon has his own category.
Secret?
Yeah, him and Carl Sagan.
Uh-huh.
They have a secret category. It's called enhancement. So they use cannabis to enhance their own thought activities and provoke spiritual and thoughtful.
I like that.
Attitudes in the world. Yes, thoughtful growth.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
I interrupted you. I don't even know where you're going.
I don't know.
Cannabis kids' computer is out of whack, and it throws them all off. It's really funny
it
to watch him squirm over here.
It gets me really
angry. Like he gets the hangries. It's just not even working over there. But that's all right. We'll read about other things. Did we tell you about Alaska? If you're just tuning in.
No, let's talk about Alaska.
They're just smoking up on there. Well, no, I don't know if they're doing the front porch thing. Colorado can, right?
On your front porch.
In Colorado?
In Colorado.
Can they do something
to
ban
on your back porch.
Cigarette people? Because I'm telling you, I was walking by my little Barnes & Noble the other day with my dog. Someone's sitting out there underneath the awning where they have all their tables out smoking a cigarette. It was one of their workers. I'll just say it. I know. It was bad. It was horrible. I mean, we walked around outside underneath the little awning, and you could smell it, and it was just lingering there.
Well, it's one of those smokes that just never goes away.
It doesn't go away.
Because of all the harsh chemicals in it.
It
lingers.
Can you imagine if that salesperson walks back into the store and just had that all over?
It's an earth-ending smell,
I have to say,
especially as a non...
So why don't they tell those people that they can smoke on their porches only? I mean, if we can't smoke
on
our
their
cannabis...
Porches.
Yeah, so the cigarette smokers can smoke on their porches only.
Because the tobacco companies have weaseled their way into the hearts of Americans.
Well, and they did it so long ago.
They
did it so long
did.
Ago.
And it's like, it's almost just... You know.
Yeah. Well, and less of the smokers are out there these days.
Oh, I know.
Seriously, I see them and I want to hand them a business card and say,
you know,
smoke pot instead.
Even
so
being in Vegas, I noticed that.
Oh, really?
That it's not as plentiful. There's a lot of people quitting.
But there are a lot more e things.
There is a lot more.
Which is fine.
E-cigarettes out there. I'd rather smell the that than.
Smell the that.
Because
you don't smell the e-cigarettes.
Well, the e-cigarettes do have a slight sugary...
If you're standing in
right
front
there,
of the face. Yeah, and if they're not using holy smokes. I mean, it's sugary because it's, again, chemicals and craps. I want grape flavored. I want
flavors.
Pina colada. Why don't you go for something like...
Do you like pina colada?
It's smoking in the...
something
like that. Yeah. Can you smoke in the
rain? If you find a dry area.
I guess so, huh? Not here in the desert. All right. Well, we have a really fun guest coming on this morning. Well, it's a 3-part mini-series, and this is an organization called Women Grow. And this is the Phoenix chapter of Women Grow. A national network of women entrepreneurs in the cannabis industry will host its next monthly meeting event on Thursday, March 5th, from 6:30 to 9 p.m. at Optima Camel View, 7177 East Rancho Vista Drive in Scottsdale. Open to the public, the event is an opportunity to learn more about the legal cannabis industry and connecting with entrepreneurs shaping its future. This month's meeting will focus on cannabis dispensary inspection laws and medical director compliance. So we'll be talking to Beth about that. We've got some featured speakers on today's show. Will be Elizabeth Dose, a registered nurse and MariMed advisor, healthcare executive experienced in the management and growth of health care ventures, and at the Women Grow meeting on March 5th, you will see not only Elizabeth, but Gina Berman, MD, who owns and serves as medical director at the Giving Tree Wellness Center in North Phoenix and Mesa. Held on the first Thursday of each month, Women Grow's chapter events offer opportunities for personal introductions, open networking, and a speaking program. Admission is just $30 in advance or $35 at the door. Attendees are encouraged to RSVP. For more information and to purchase tickets, visit the Women Grow Phoenix chapter event page. The Next event is scheduled for March 5th, following that will be April 2nd. The Phoenix Chapter Women Grow kicked off in December 2014 and is one of 16 chapters nationwide. Sarah Gullickson, Executive Director of Dispensary Permits, serves as chair, and Kim Prince of Proven Media serves as co-chair. Since its inception in July 2014, Women Grow has been enthusiastic response and rapid growth, demonstrating a distinct demand for organizations designed to support women in the cannabis industry. While Women Grow is women-focused, it also welcomes business-savvy men who understand that involving women in their organizations and partnering with women-owned businesses is good for the bottom line. There you have it. We need more women-owned and operated businesses, like Sumbo Weed Sales Center, 6315 East Broadway Boulevard, Suite 103. Come on down, folks, get certified. You can come today, we just don't have a doctor. Just put that on the answer machine, huh?
Uh-huh.
No doctor today. However, we'll be getting ready for the Peace Fair, which is this weekend, and you should join us there. It's Saturday. We'll be there 10 to 4, we'll be talking about cannabis, but the Peace Fair is focused on ending poverty, so we'd like to do that too, you know.
It's the best way to do it.
It is. So, but come on down, Monday through Saturday. Right now our hours are 10 to 3. We're getting ready to expand. We're getting later. We're growing later. I know it. Shocking. Get out of here. We're going to certify. We're going to double it. We're going to triple, quadruple the amount of certifications we're doing.
Did you hear that, folks?
Get on down here. Get certified. Support your
and
local
you
program.
And you just sent out an email.
I did. About the Peace Fair.
Mm-hmm.
And
some deals that are going on.
Well, there was a special in last week's email. It's all right. Been that kind of week.
It has.
We do send out emails, and there are specials and discounts all the time. So be sure to, if you're not on our email list and you want to get spammed and sign out.
It's a good spam.
It's a great spam. It's a can of spam. It's can of spam. THCTucson@gmail.com or just go to the website, tumbleweedtailcenter.com. Can of spam.
Oh, that's going to be a good one today.
That is. Maybe we should bring a can of spam to the Peace Fair. We'll have to make one up. So come on down and get certified. Not only do we certify and not only do we have this wonderful radio show, but we've got a really cool lending library of all sorts of books. Everything you ever want to know about cannabis and health and healing, cooking and law and culture and everything.
There are herbs that work synergistically with them.
Mm-hmm. We also have a lot of books for sale. There are a lot of cookbooks. People come in and we've got some really incredible cookbooks, and those fly off the shelf all the time. We have really great accessories. Everything from your dab needs. We've got dab tools and
wax
containers,
wax
some oil
holders.
Slick. Yeah, mm-hmm. So you can put your wax, your dabs, your butter. Do you know they sell butter?
B-U-D-D-E-R. I know, I thought that was a cute way to do it, too.
That is cute. I almost hit the baby cry button. That would not be a good one. It's either that or the arrow, which I think we like. Uh-oh. Oh, we're looking at Weed Nation. I've been reading this since I got it, and I've been telling everybody to pick up a copy of this. If you haven't picked up Newsweek, you should. It's flying off the shelf. I can't find it anywhere anymore.
I couldn't find it at the Walgreens. They're not carrying it.
I don't even. Barnes & Noble might be our. We'll go have to hit there on our way. On our way out to talk about cannabis in the world today. But, so we can definitely take a look at this while we're waiting for Beth to call in. But anyway, come on down to Tumbleweeds Health Center. We'd love to see you down there. We do our very best to answer all of your questions. If we don't know the answer, we'll make it up or we'll find it for you. So don't you worry. We got all the way down. Yeah.
We got all the way here. So
yeah,
we're on the next page.
Yeah, we're going to read a little more about cannabis history here while we're waiting for Beth to come on. But if you didn't know, every week there's at least 3 new news articles on the Tumbleweeds Health Center website. And I just want to mention that this is cool. The world's first all-hemp electric scooter. Isn't this cool?
Very fun.
Yeah, within the first few months of 2016, a Holland-based company called Van.Eco, EKO, plans on introducing the world's first ever electric scooter made completely out of hemp. How happy is Doug Fine right now? The fact that the ingenious idea for this one-of-a-kind vehicle comes from a country known for its environmentalism is no surprise, and neither should its eventual impact on the European market once available. The scooter, which goes by the name of B, B-E dot E, is made of various composites created from industrial hemp. Even the headlights and turn signals were produced from the material. Van Echo, working along with the University of Applied Sciences in Holland, used the platform of developing the scooter to push the science of creating a product of its kind from the particular material. As Van Echo notes, they are a company with a sustainable heart and an entrepreneurial background. They lived up to their ambitions, providing sustainable solutions to the mobility industry with the development of this project by not only going green on the B's construction, but also on the fact that it runs via electricity.
The scooter delivers where it counts, its batteries, which are guaranteed for 2,000 charging cycles, provide a five and a half hour horsepower, getting the bee up to a respectable 35 miles per hour. One charge is good for over 37 miles of driving before the time to recharge, making it a perfect for city driving. On a 600 watt charge, the innovator in this market, there might be a one day by being charging spots for these type of e-vehicles in all major cities of Europe. Because of the bee's high cost of production, it's set to hit the market at $7,000.
Oh, not bad.
But even at that price, they are not lacking. When it comes to their pre-sale orders, the fact that the scooter incurs little fueling cost and such as a high quality and longevity obviously satisfies the needs of many European customers whose cities are on the forefront of a green revolution.
Wow.
That's really exciting. You know, we talked last week about there's more minds coming to the table with this plant.
Uh-huh.
And more and more information is filtered through this thing we call the internet, everyone's kind of learning and getting new ideas, this collective consciousness kind of thing.
Yeah, it's awesome because everyone's taking the skills they already have and know and applying them to cannabis and hemp and mm-hmm. just, you know, boosting it in that much bigger way.
The people's plant.
The people's plant. Oh, that's really sweet. I like it. Good job, Cannabis Kid. If you've done nothing this morning, you came up with a really cool term.
Boom! Really glad.
I know, that's it.
I'm going to sit back and relax the rest of the show.
Just shut your computer right off. Go home. Take a break. We love you. All right.
I'll stick around.
Good, because I think we have Beth on the line here.
Great.
Let's see. Good morning and welcome to Weed Day Wednesday.
Good morning, Beth.
Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning, Beth. How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm good. How are you?
Oh, excellent. We got you. We got
two Welcome phones. To Weed Day Wednesday.
Oh, well, it's a pleasure.
Well, thank you. Well, thank you for being here. We were really excited to have you on. We took a look at what you're working with around Arizona and what you're doing here, and we're excited. We have some great questions for you. But for our listeners who don't know much about Women Grow or you, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into this great organization, what you've been up to, and who you are.
Well, so my name is Beth Dost, and I'm a nurse. And I'm actually a nurse that I have a very traditional background. I've worked both in and out of the hospital, and I've done primarily home health care for, more years than I want to say. But for the past 8, I've been in hospice as a hospice executive. And so it was an opportunity that when it became an opportunity for me to join the cannabis movement, I felt that it was a segue from hospice because in hospice, my number one objective was to ease suffering for patients that in hospice face end-of-life issues. But there's a great number of patients that suffer every day and people that suffer all the time that are not getting relief and not living their life to the fullest. So that's really what was my driver to join the industry. Is patient advocacy and that people can live their lives and live it in a way that's enjoyable to them.
Absolutely. It's kind of a no-brainer, and thank you for what you did and do with hospice, having personal experience.
It's a privilege.
Yeah, it is a privilege. And for the families you serve, it's a privilege to work with you guys. Now, Are you working with organizations to allow for end-of-life patients to use this during hospice care, or where are you going with your education and background with that?
Well, that certainly would be something that would obviously be on the table going forward. Right now, we're working with dispensaries as they're up and coming. In Arizona, you're farther along than some areas, other areas of the country. So we individualize our work, and I individualize my work depending on the state and the dispensary and where they're at and what their goals are. And, you know, of course, most all their goals are patient services and alleviating suffering, especially since, you know, most of the states are that have allowed marijuana. It's medical in nature. So it's really a customized approach. But yes, I think that hospice would be a natural avenue for the use of cannabis.
Right. Absolutely. Now, we see that you're working with dispensaries and medical directors as far as compliance goes. We have a question about a different kind of compliance, and that is about regulation within the medications themselves. We see that, you know, dosing is a huge issue for people, and it's so, right now in the industry, it's so random and varied, it's hard to say to one person, this is what you need, you know what I mean, because everybody's so individual, and because the medicines themselves are not consistent in the sense that
different strains are used.
With different strengths. It's the saddest thing that we see at Tumbleweeds Health Center when we certify patients and they come back to talk to us after their visits to dispensaries. They say, well, you know, we found a great strain that worked for me. It worked so well, and I went back to get it, and they're out. Mm-hmm. And they won't have it now X amount of months, or they don't know, or whatever, or what? How are you guys going to work with that sort of compliance?
So what we're going to try and do, and my goal is to work with symptom management. So in other words, a patient presents with a symptom. There are many qualifying conditions, but the qualifying conditions generally manifest itself in a symptom. And that could be, let's just say, for example, nausea. And say somebody, you know, if they go to one dispensary and they know what they want, That's easier for the dispensary. They've had some experience.
Right.
They know what helps their nausea. But say you have a patient that comes in, and I've seen this, that doesn't have any experience with cannabis or used cannabis very briefly in high school, and now they're 45.
Yep.
And they have this nausea. And they have problems with nausea for a variety of reasons, whatever their qualifier is. And oftentimes that's cancer. And so they don't know what to do. So, or what to take, but what we would like them to do is describe what they would like to, what their experience with cannabis looks like to them. Obviously, they'd like freedom from nausea. They might like a feeling of wellness or enhanced sleep, and maybe a little bit of an improved appetite, because maybe with their nausea, they can't enjoy food anymore. And so then, our goal is to work with the persons that actually make recommendations to that client, that patient, about what type of a strain, what type of a mix that they need to get them there, and then have the patient report back how that worked for them. Because if they get into strains or names, or, you know, they go between a dispensary or two, like you said, so much of this is botanical, it's an art. And of creating the strains, and but really what I'm looking at from my point of view is what's their best outcome, not necessarily what strain gives them their best outcome. They may know that strain, but if they get, like you said, it's problematic if they get hooked into a strain and then the dispensary's out of it.
That's excellent way of like relooking at something, because if you find out what feelings they want or what symptoms they want relieved, rather than going to a dispensary and saying, hey, I want Blue Dream, you go in and say, hey, I'd like something to relieve nausea, but I'd like a little happiness on top of that.
That's
you know?
Right.
So,
Right.
Yeah.
Or I'd like to be able to take it in a way that when I take it at night, it makes me, promotes my sleep because I wake
right.
up nauseous, so I want to take it before. Or I want something that acts right away because I'm going to take it and stay home and go to bed. Or I'd like something that's going to work a little bit farther out. And then, you know, there's so many variables. When we look at patients taking traditional medication, it's the right drug, the right route, the right time. You know, when do you want the onset to occur? That's what doctors look at, nurses look at. So some of that has to be applied, or I think is going to be, you're going to see waves in the future of that application in dispensaries as they become more sophisticated, because you're not going to want someone to come in and say, I want that blue dream. Because
yeah,
you don't
yeah.
even know if it's, I mean,
right.
you may want that, but that may not be right for every person.
Right.
It's a little different way to look at it.
Yeah, and it needs to be looked at a different way. It's not like you go to your local pharmacy and your Tylenol is a different strength every week, you know.
Right.
That's right.
You have to
And you
have,
kind of know what to expect from it.
You do. And you know what to expect from ibuprofen and Aleve and Excedrin. So, you know, and those are your different strains, quote unquote. They just have a generic name that relieves symptoms and promotes feelings you want.
I like how you brought feelings into it, Bella. It's really, I mean, it's way more than what pharmaceuticals, I mean, we would ever ask with that. Yeah, it is a more of a psychoactive drug, and it, you get those feelings that get mixed along with the relief part of it, which is really important.
This is a great comment, one of our bloggers says, I disregard strain names and cannabinoid profiles are what matter.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
There you go. That's a smart blogger.
Yeah. We do have excellent bloggers. We love our bloggers. I have a question for you.
Sure.
Being a nurse, being in the health industry, being a hospice executive, now let's say someone is suffering end-of-life cancer and, you know, they're 70 or whatever. They're of the mind frame that pot's bad, marijuana's bad, but the other things aren't helping them. How would you approach someone like that to say, because all they're, you know, they're back to the stigma, I can't use this because it's a bad thing, even though it would relieve all these symptoms. How do you go about approaching people with that mindset of that, I just can't do it, you know, even if it would help them?
Well, you would be surprised, but in hospice, we hear this all the time with our traditional hospice drugs. So it depends, you know, it can be generational. You know, some of our older patients, and by older, I'm talking, you know, in their maybe mid to late 70s all the way up to 100, you know, are very stoic in their approach to medicating themselves or their acceptance of medication. So it's really, I really look at it as just an extension. It's another tool. We call it like the hospice kit. And in the hospice kit, we have many different tools. We have our professionals that are social workers and chaplains and nurses and aides and volunteers, et cetera, our physicians. And then we have all of our medicines and our drugs and our morphine and all those other drugs that, and there are many of them that are used to create and promote wellness to the best that the patient can feel well at that time. Well, cannabis would just be another arsenal and another tool, and we would speak about it just the way we speak about any of our other modalities. So we would say to them that actually this, you know, is something that you should try, and that's part of why I'm speaking with you too, and part of the movement is to elevate cannabis to that level that people look at it as a safe alternative for them to alleviate symptoms and perhaps a preferred method to alleviate symptoms. And so it's really a matter of just counseling individual persons, because each individual person has a reason for why they feel that way. And it might be that they have heard that there are terrible side effects to it.
Yeah.
Or that they're going to be high and they don't want to be, quote-unquote, stoned.
Right.
That we hear that a lot in hospice. People don't want to be sleepy, really, really sleepy. They want to be able to enjoy family. So
right. We
cater all of the things that we do. So with cannabis and with symptom management and with patients that are not feeling well, it's really about catering that marijuana to how do they want to feel, and then if there are any roadblocks, it's discussing each roadblock with them. And so it's important that the people that are recommending the cannabis be informed.
That's an excellent point, because this is one thing that we hear, and you can definitely share this news with the dispensaries that you work with. Patients come back all the time to us, and they say, you know, we like this dispensary, we like that dispensary, but they don't know very much. You know, they're just pushing strains and waxes and dabs and this and that.
And the education's not there.
They're missing their education. So when, you know, when you have someone, like you said, come in that may have smoked it once or twice back in the day but has no idea what they're doing now, you have to have an educated person handling any part of the cannabis industry, I believe.
And that's part of what we're working on with MiraMed Advisors and my consulting team, and working on providing consistent education and patient takeaways so that people can at least, you know, every time you go and you get a new drug at a pharmacy, you get a package insert, or you get an explanation of that drug, usually stapled to the bag. And wouldn't it be nice to have something that's specific that a patient can take away, or a person that comes to a dispensary, and that they can look at and they can say, this is what I can expect, or if this happens, this is what I should probably, these are some of the things I can try to make me feel less unpleasant if they have an unpleasant experience. And they can, especially if they haven't used marijuana before, they can have, you know, some unpleasant experience depending on how much they take.
Right.
Yep. Absolutely. That's
and absolutely also incorporating other terpenes into their medication already.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly, into their medication profile, what they're already taking.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what you're saying, yes.
Well,
yes.
And we have
that
a
requires.
Question.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, go ahead.
No.
We had a question from the blogger. They want to know what your patients are consuming. How are they using their medicine usually? What's the most common way you're finding people are taking the cannabis?
Well, we're finding that they're taking combination. You mean how are they taking it? They take in all different methods,
how
and I can't speak to all the dispensaries. Pardon me?
Consuming medicine, yeah.
So they consume it traditionally. They smoke it. They take it in edibles. We find tinctures. We're seeing an increased interest in higher CBD medicines.
Yes.
Yep. Because there's been so much written about the balance. Yep. Yep. So we're actually seeing patients that want to be able to, they're expressing that they don't really want high THC. They don't want a lot of psychoactive. This is not all, but some. You know, we're starting to see it. Some are getting more sophisticated, and they want that mixture, as you said, so that it actually, they don't feel high, or they don't feel, they don't really want that, especially if they're using during the day, and especially if they have family, like children, and they want to be, they want the best results. I think they're starting to look for the best results for them, and what does that mean to them?
Uh-huh.
And it all goes back to what are their symptoms.
Right.
Yep. That's exactly it. It's so individualized.
Mm-hmm.
It really is.
It's an art.
Yeah.
It is.
And that's what we tell people. We say, like, you know, when they come to get certified, we say, look, you know, there's so many different kinds of cannabis. It's like when you go, if you have a headache, Tylenol works for some people. Aspirin works for some people. Aleve works for, doesn't work for me. Excedrin works for my mom. You know what I mean?
There's so many other brands out there.
Try things.
We say, think of your strains like brands.
Don't be afraid to try something.
And mix. I always tell people, I talk to people about, you know, and this is a little bit, you know, more out there, mixing your strains to where you get something that.
Yeah, tell me a little bit about how you'd give advice like that.
Well, I always talk to people about using the grinder and grinding their medication up and dosing it with either a teaspoon, tablespoon, something that they are able to either put in their pipe and that's what they use, mixing it with other strains, doing the exact same thing and doing equal parts, or knowing your, you know, do a little 80%, 20%. But this is where you're getting to find where you find the qualities of one strain and really enjoy some of the qualities of this other strain. I've noticed it works for me, and these are other things out there that I've been giving examples of, you know, trying out while these new patients are coming and trying the medications.
Yep. I think that that's excellent because, and then if they write it down, so write it down
sure.
what you put, you know, write down the combination that you put, and I like that you said use a teaspoon, use a quarter of a teaspoon, mix it. If you really mm-hmm. like it, you may
sure.
not remember, oh, did I use a teaspoon, did I use 2 teaspoons, did I use a half a teaspoon of this? If they write it down before they use it, and then they get a good result, they'll know that they can repeat that. But it's, and so it's important, I think, for patients to diary a little bit mm-hmm. about what they're doing, especially if they're new to the medicine. And if they diary, and then if they diary, they can bring it into the dispensaries. You know, ultimately, you'd like to have all dispensaries have that ability of pulling up, this is what you've, you know, like maybe this is what you've been using. How did that work for you? Because you can all imagine that there are patients that come in, they really enjoyed and it worked very well for them, and then they come back, they don't have that, like you said, but they want something like that, but now they're describing the effects, but they don't remember what it was that they bought. So it's probably important that they, or the ratios they took it in at home. So if they are experimenting at home, it's important that they write that down because then that will help them.
And what they that's awesome, and that's it. The thing that people need to understand is that even when you take pharmaceuticals, you're experimenting. You have to find out because I'm a tiny little girl. I can't take
yep.
the big doses they recommend to people. They knock me right out. I'm just too sensitive
right.
for
a pharma hangover.
Yeah, oh, no, I'll just... Forget it. I won't tell you what happens. They damn near kill me.
Yeah.
So I can't take that stuff.
So,
for
you
me,
know.
They, yeah. So if they say take 10 milligrams, I either take zero or, you know,
right.
point one or something because
right.
that's what would affect me. But it's also an experiment. And people think that just because a doctor in a white coat gives you a pharmaceutical and says take 10 milligrams that you should do it and that's what you're supposed to have. You have to know your body. And you have to know what works for you. So this is where addiction comes in, and people just get addicted to all the, you know, narcotics that they just hand them left and right, you know. You know your bodies, you know when you start getting to that level of, hey, this is too much. Oh, or
a lot of us here in the United States have gotten disconnected with our bodies. So
yeah,
I think
true.
That's where this medication, this
bringing
plant,
that
comes back in because
mm-hmm.
it works with the two together. It is medical, but it is also spiritual. It takes you... Mixing the two together and knowing your body and how you feel,
yeah.
While on the medication.
Well, right. I've heard it said by a physician that pro cannabis physician that you know the two parts of the plant work in tandem with each other. The two chemical components do,
mm-hmm.
and so there is some advantages to having, like you said, a mix of both because when we're talking medical marijuana. We're talking about people that have had chronic and, you know, very often chronic and debilitating issues that they're dealing with. And sometimes that experience of well-being is very valuable to them. You know, not just the relief from the nausea, but also to have a little heightened sense of well-being is a positive thing when you suffer from, you know, a chronic condition. And, I mean, you know, that's important, and I think that's part of the benefit of the plant.
It is. We always say, what's wrong with a little bit of happiness? Because it can bring a little bit of happiness to people. You know, it can be
right.
very uplifting, very creative, very spiritual, and people need that. You know, they get depressed in their illnesses. They get depressed, and it's hard.
Yeah.
What's wrong
yeah.
with a little euphoric lift?
Right. Well,
yeah.
And, you know, chronic illness, because, you know, there's not a lot of positives in a chronic illness. And so it's important if we can provide some positive feelings that helps people look forward to their day and makes them feel better. And I think
it
that's the beauty
does.
Of the medicine.
It might inspire a little walk or,
right.
you know, maybe a desire to watch a movie or read the newspaper or talk with a friend even. People get in these
right.
funks of depression and, you know, they just can't handle it.
When I worked in oncology, you know, I worked in oncology, and you would do just about anything, you know, to help your patients feel better because
Absolutely.
You see people suffering. And this was in the acute care in a major medical center. And I think that when people experience long chronic illnesses or life-altering illnesses, it's important to be able to get on the phone, talk with that friend, be able to get up and feel like you want to take a walk. Look forward to a good night's sleep so that you might feel rested in the morning. These are life-changing events that you know, many people just take for granted, but that have such uplifting value for our patients.
Well, and you said it before, it's about quality of life. And if you, especially if you're in your end stages of life, you know, unfortunately, if something's got you, you want to be as peaceful and, you know, comfortable as you can, you know, going out.
That's right, because you know what? Every day that you're alive is a day that is to be lived.
Oh, my gosh.
And you know, to be lived to its fullest. And how best can we help people live their days to their fullest? In the ways that they want to, and
especially if they
get it how they want to.
Yeah, especially when they've got something going against them, you know, going at them.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Wow. Sounds like we could talk for hours.
Oh yes, we could talk for hours. We get very passionate when I talk about patients and, you know, making people enjoy their life and helping them with chronic suffering and even acute illnesses. Can have very, you know, traumatic of events. And if we're looking at things like post-traumatic stress, you know, head injuries, shaking and tremors and all different types of things that are some of the qualifiers, imagine the impact on the life of somebody that now feels better because of it.
Oh my gosh.
It's enormous.
Absolutely. Have you found that, I don't know if you're still working with patients individually like in hospice or any other care, but are you finding more people are just flat out asking for cannabis?
I have actually found that people are asking me about cannabis and how to get cannabis. And so once they find that I'm in the industry, they're coming to me. And I think that there are many people involved in the industry, but nurses are often sought out for advice when it comes to things. So once they find that I'm in the cannabis industry, it kind of opens the door for them to ask. And so people are asking more about cannabis. They're more interested in it, and they're more interested in how it might work for them. So, yes, I am seeing an increase in requests for cannabis. Hello?
All right. I think that we're live again. Tech Guy says, yeah, we're here. And we're hoping that Beth comes back. Sorry about that. We had a really bad tech blur. That was no good. Sorry about that, folks. I heard you guys on your end were having a fine radio show until our computer cut out. So that was Beth Dose from Women Grow. And we were having just an awesome conversation. I hope she calls back in. But if she doesn't, we'll have her on again.
We were talking about patient strains, balances of CBDs and THC, the cannabinoids, terpenoids.
The use of whole
really,
plants
really
and quality of life. Oh, good stuff. We'd say Wednesday. So we'll get back here and let's see here. Maybe this is, are we here, Beth?
Someone just hung up.
I think they did. Oh, we just lost it. Well, maybe they'll come back. Anyway, that was Beth. She was awesome. That was fantastic. I had so many more questions about everything. Good conversation, though. And it looks like Cannabis Kids jumping right into, this is about cutting-edge science reveals how cannabis affects almost every system of your body. But I wanted to show you something else that I don't know that, because you can't find your copy anywhere. Not that. This. Check it out. This is a cash crop. It says the cash crop of tomorrow. Doug Fine, hemp activist and author of Hemp Bound, explains how drastically legalizing the plant could change our nation.
Very nice.
Very nice, huh? And this is all our boy Dougie. Dougie Fresh. And we're hoping Doug is going to come on air live with us. Maybe he'll be here next Wednesday live for the three-year
anniversary
show. That would be fantastic. So anyway, guys, you've got to get your hands on this magazine. Tech Guy, did you get this yet? This is fantastic. He's going to write over. Yeah, he got it in. Barnes & Noble? No, he went somewhere else. He's not even going to give up his secret location. He won't tell you. Sorry, we can't. He just doesn't talk much. I think Cannabis Kid wants to...
I was flipping through.
Oh,
I
you were just flipping?
Yeah.
You're flipping?
There's just a lot in
there's
this magazine
there's
that...
There's a lot of cannabis that we could talk about.
I mean, in politics, the history of strains, how some grow stronger, why some grow stronger, the ancestral line of cannabis, really.
Wow, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Where these things come from.
The argument that this isn't your parents' weed is factually accurate. Its evolution is the result of amateur botany, unregulated experimentation, and luck. But is that a good thing? Tell us about Sour Diesel.
So, Sour Diesel, a pungent sativa strain, gives users an energetic cerebral high that alleviates pain, depression, and stress.
Ooh, Afghani. A Landrys indica strain hailing from Afghanistan, the cradle of cannabis cultivation, gives a sedating, relaxing high. I love Afghanis.
And cheese. This UK-based hybrid smells like a block of gorgonzola and introduces a state of euphoria.
Ooh, look how beautiful it is.
It probably smells really good, too.
Yeah. This is New York City Diesel. So, okay, so here we go.
This is the breakdown.
New York City Diesel is actually Sour Diesel and Afghani. The sativa heavy hybrid provides users with a fast-paced high that settles into a deep sense of relaxation. Okay, I'm going to stop right there, because this is what we were talking about with Beth. She's saying, don't go into a dispensary and say, I want Afghani New York Diesel.
Because my friend said it was great.
No. You want to go in there and say, I want something that is going to produce a fast-paced high and that settles into deep relaxation.
I want something a little energetic with a little bit of indica healing.
And sedating. Yeah.
So you get of a,
or I want
a designer drug, if you would.
Designer medicine for you. There you go.
Designer drug for you.
There you go. Let's do it.
Custom blend.
Custom canna blends. There we go.
Custom canna blends for you and your ailments.
That's it. All right.
So, like Belle was saying, the Sour Diesel and the mixture of Afghani made up NYC Diesel.
New York
now,
Diesel.
Big Buddha cheese comes from Afghani and cheese mixed together. Now, this is a UK-based cheese.
Right, so it's a little different
from
your California cheese.
California cheese.
The Big Buddha cheese is a cross between Afghani and cheese tones. And the odor, it tones down the odor a little bit, but it maintains the effect. So if you don't want the gorgonzola smell,
that's rough on people.
When I first smelled that cheesy,
it was almost like a little overpowering, and it really didn't make sense.
It didn't make me want to smoke it.
No. It doesn't. I'm into those fresh flavors. I really love, what was my favorite? Pineapple smell.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
That was a good one.
I don't even know.
Oh, and Cheezel is a combination of New York City Diesel and Big Buddha cheese. So you have, in Cheezel, you've got Sour Diesel, Afghani cheese, Big Buddha cheese, and New York City
with
Diesel.
With our powers combined.
The best of all worlds. Cheezel. Intensely euphoric high, relaxes the body without putting the user to sleep.
I want that.
Let's go get some Cheezel today.
It's a Cheezel
kind of day. All right.
Growing stronger. Very awesome article.
Wow.
And that goes in. There's a couple little paragraphs.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Where are we at
we're
on
good.
Time?
We've got a couple minutes, sure.
If you want to go back 20 or 30 years, if you wanted to buy marijuana, maybe you had a friend or knew somebody who sold some pot, and you just bought whatever that guy had, says Jim Rendon, author of Supercharged, a book about marijuana's evolution. There was no sense that you could just walk into a room somewhere and pick up from 50 different strains. Times have certainly changed. Even though cannabis is a natural growing plant, it's becoming tougher to find pot that wasn't heavily influenced by man. The majority of marijuana smoked in the 70s was from land-raised strains, plants that grew naturally in various climates around the world, each adapting to its own environment through the natural process of evolution. Cannabis has two major species, sativa, which is a short and bushy, and indica, which grows thin and tall. Marijuana growers started breeding the two species together in order to create medium-sized, stout plants, better for clandestine growing, that still packed a happy and heady high.
All right. But breeders working independently all over the world, particularly after seeds became available for purchase via Amsterdam-based mail-order outlets, also crossbred strains on a quest for desirable and unique traits. Exactly what she was talking about, traits here. So it wasn't done in the scientific way you had with corn, for example, says Rendon. In addition to breeding for specific colors or aromas, growers bred for potency, creating strains with increasingly higher THC levels, breeding out CBD in the process. As a result, strains high in CBD, a chemical researchers are linking to effective treatments for seizures, are hard to come by. And because there's no official seed bank for the original Landris strains, we may never get them back. We've spent 30 years breeding CBD entirely out of plants, says Rendon, but all of a sudden it's like, wait, this is actually useful. Mm-hmm. On one hand, the plant has benefited from the ad hoc do-what-you-will environment, but at a certain point, you're going to lose strain species, Landrises, and other iterations of the plant that may turn out to be very helpful, which is why we talk about the whole plant. Let's not potentiate the heck out of everything. What a great...
Well, I wanted to talk about another thing. I know that you just said a lot of the plants have been bred, the CBD has been bred out of them. And we're slowly breeding it back in. I mean, we're messing around with a species of plants that has been around for years, and I'm sure it can take it.
Yeah.
Sure. But if you're not finding medication with high CBDs now, you can definitely stop into Tumbleweed Health Center and pick up your Vital V CBD tincture, mm-hmm. which is made from the hemp plant. And this is excellent stuff. I've been actually using it for about 4 months now. Really, I usually use it at night because I can take larger doses of it. I smoke and I take a couple drops, large dropperfuls underneath the tongue, and it just those two mixed together, sleep throughout the night, and not have that, like I call it, pharma hangover from maybe your Flexerol or any one of those other pain pills that you might be taking. So just start, I always say start at home, start when you're not planning on doing anything, and really practice treating yourself.
I thought you were going to say practice feeling.
Feeling and treating yourself. I think that's really where it is. It's treating yourself. You are your doctor. You are your pharmacist.
You are.
It's all in your hands.
You are you.
That's it.
Thank you for joining us for Weed Day Wednesday. You be you out there. And coming up this weekend is the Peace Fair at Reed Park. Come visit us. We'll be down there hanging out. We're going to be doing certifications down there, too. It's going to be awesome. Yes, we are. I know.
It's so exciting.
It's very exciting. And then next week, we've got our three-year anniversary radio show. We've got Robert Platchorn, Heidi Hanford, and Ari Rubin from Desert Relief Dispensary.
Now, and we're having a live studio audience that day.
I hope so. We're going to have a big one.
Oh my
also,
gosh.
We've got the 420 Pig Roast coming up. On 420, and Holy Smokes and Tumbleweed Health Center will be there and be a part of that. Absolutely, at Club XS. Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't know it was the pig roast.
If you go to our Facebook page and go to the events section, you can find all these events and more. The Peace Fair Music Festival, you can find tickets for the 420 event. And if you mention this code, 420 Tumbleweeds, you get 20% off your entrance to this event.
Say it isn't so.
420 Tumbleweeds. I'm just going to say it again. So be sure to come on down to Tumbleweeds Health Center, 5315 East Broadway Boulevard. We're in the back, Suite 103.
Come on down. Get a hug.
Get certified. Get hugged. Get recertified. Come down and get some education.
Check out. Hang out.
Yeah, check out everything we got going on. We've got movies, a lending library, and just tons to do.
Fun, educated staff.
Yeah.
And knows
educated,
their stuff.
Yes, that's the most important part of education.
Yeah.
So thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Sorry about the radio glitch there. I don't know what happened.
I can't wait to have her back.
Yeah, Beth needs to come back. We need to have Beth back on. So thank you, Beth.
If you're ever in the Tucson area, come in and visit.
Thank you, Women Grow, for doing such a wonderful thing. And thank you, everybody, for being a part of We Say Wednesday. Like we always say,
be smart,
be safe,
and educate.